Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is the Best Hang Podcast featuring Max Kerman, Shane Cunningham, and I am Mike Bierman. Here's a secret, you can pass it around. Here's a secret, you can pass it around. My head in the clouds and 2 feet on the ground. Here's a secret, you can pass it around. All right. Welcome to the Best Hang Podcast. Your boys are all back together in person along with Manager Ash. Beautiful day outside here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Yet here we are inside an edit bay recording a show for the people, for the listeners. Fellas, how's it going?
Good. Max looks a little different. He came in with a hat and he proudly took the hat
dramatically off. Removed it.
What do you think?
Well,
I got a haircut.
It looks cool. It's very, you're a trendy guy. You follow the trends.
And you know, when everybody's sticking to the skinny jeans, I'm going a little wider leg because that's where the trends are going.
Well, yeah, but this haircut you're doing, like if you did this 3 years ago, you'd be an insane person.
Yeah.
That's well, right true. Now, it's like country chic type of like it's I'm a hot I think it's hillbilly. Yeah. Danny McBride. But hot like hillbilly. Hot.
I
yeah.
like it.
No, it's good.
Yeah. Well, what do you think? Because, you know, sometimes I do look around at my peers, my contemporaries, my friends, and I feel like, am I going for it too much? But, you know, my line of work demands it, right?
It does. Yeah. You can get away with anything. And I always say that. Yeah. But this haircut, your hair is always kind of eloquently disheveled, I'll mm-hmm. say. So you can do anything with that hair of yours because it is so wild in general.
You know what my other goal is?
What's that?
Hoop earring. I can never do it.
Like Michael Jordan.
Were you listening to the latest This Is Important episode? Oh, they talk about this 50-year-old with a hoop earring. Okay. Yeah, that's
there's
funny.
There's like an old kids in the
hall. I would love you with a hoop earring.
There's a Kids in the Hall sketch from years ago. I think it's Bruce McCullough, actually. And it's like, he's 50. He's hip. And it's he's just walking down the street to some jazz tune. And he's got a little earring. And he's like, yeah.
But I mean, like Shawn Mendes has one. And like Chris Martin from Coldplay has one. And I feel like other guys have them.
Yeah.
That's true.
By two references. Shawn Mendes or Chris Martin.
That's more than one.
I think Michael Jordan had a very famous hoop earring.
Springsteen, yes. He still rocks a hoop earring.
Yeah. He just forgot it's in, actually. Like, it's just been in for a decade.
Max looking at a picture of Michael Jordan and being inspired by that. That's funny.
Shaved head, hoop earring.
Who inspired this haircut?
Well, I have a friend who I guess might technically be Gen Z. And she was like, go for this look. And then I brought the look into the barbershop and the woman was like, oh yeah, I do this all the time. This is one of the looks right now.
That's the vibe.
Yeah. Like, all right.
I feel like as far as like fashion goes, you and my brother, I will see you guys on the gram sometimes, whether it's like how wide pants are in or baggy clothes. It's kind of going back to the 90s a bit. Yeah. I feel like you guys are always keeping up with stuff.
We're trying.
Whereas I atrophy like I'm always like 15 years behind.
Yeah. You're a hair fashion guy. No, you're not 15 years behind. You just stayed 15 years ago and you haven't moved since. Yeah. Like basically like yeah, what was happening in 2008?
5 years ago, you were 10 years behind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just 2008. But the good news is that in 2029, when skinny jeans are back, you'll be right in the pocket.
I'm just like, and I hope I'm still around. But I think that the thing is, you never know. The thing, it's almost like t-shirts and jeans never really go to style. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
though I will say, like, there was a trend in the late aughts, V-neck shirts from American Apparel.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you were hip, you wore the like the black V-neck shirt.
I had a few, yeah.
And then it slowly makes its way out to the borough, like to the suburbs, and then to the country. And if you go to Peterborough now, like
Dutch hats and V-necks.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, they're into like, there's some dads in like V-necks. I'm like, this is what we were wearing in 2008.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. And then my hair is long, obviously, I don't think I'm going to cut it until it starts to go.
I don't think it's going anywhere.
Because there was a phase where you said you're never going to have long hair again.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the pandemic happened. Yes. But now you're saying you're never going to have short hair again.
I don't think I'm going to go back. Why? Well, I think the thing is, too, is as I get older, I realize that it is a, I'm very grateful.
Oh, would you guys get a hair transplant in Turkey? Because I have a couple of friends considering it.
It takes too long. It takes a year.
Yeah, it's crazy.
There's a waiting list in Turkey?
No, it takes a year to recover.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Who's
that's got that just kind too of time? Long. How do you hide out for that long?
Yeah,
become quite a hat guy every time.
Yeah, I read a first person essay by like a professor from Ontario who went to Turkey and did it. And then he had to come back and teach classes and everybody was sort of shocked. But he was like, fuck it, I'm owning it.
We know some people that are considering this.
Yeah. I won't say my name on the pod. Yeah, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
We won't say their names.
Yeah, I won't.
No.
But we'll save it for off air.
Turkey, eh?
Yeah.
Why not just do
it
here?
Why Turkey, though?
Well, it must be cheaper. Is that the idea? That you can get
I think their laws are different.
And they probably perfected it.
Is it illegal to do a hair transplant here?
Yeah. I saw, I don't know, it was a stand-up special on... was it Rami? Or maybe it was some other comedian basically talking about like, this is the best, like... version of tourism that any of these countries like that are not that desirable to go should just start offering. It's like just like dick enlargements, like where the fucking place
is,
you know.
I feel like Turkey started doing it illegally and then it became legal, and then by that time they're like, well, we've been doing this illegally so long, we're really good at this transplant.
But I want to give a shout out to the other Shane in my life.
What? I've never heard of this guy.
Well, it's actually like Greg's best friend.
Shane Wright.
Greg has a new best friend named Shane, and it's not you. I hate to break
Shane Wright.
He was in Buffalo with us, along with Jerome, was it Peek's birthday? When Arkells played and we all went out there.
Have you ever met the Shane?
He's not the most memorable guy in the world. No.
he's quite nice. And he has his haircut too. So when I saw Shane, I was like, I kind of want, not you, the other one.
No, I know. Cool looking guy.
He's a cool looking guy and really nice.
Yes.
Good voice too.
Yeah.
And so I was like, Shane,
good voice?
He's got a great
voice.
Like
you've heard him sing?
No, just his speaking talking, voice. His speaking voice is really good.
We're rating speaking voices now. I didn't know that.
Normally I wouldn't, but in this case, it's true.
Where do you think our listeners rank us? Like on the most soothing, less
great
soothing.
Great question. Who has the nicest voice?
I definitely have the worst voice.
Really?
Out of the three of us.
I think Mike has the best voice.
I think we all, hopefully we all have pleasant enough voices where people keep coming back and listening. But maybe like a grating voice is a good thing. Like maybe, you know how sometimes something's so off that it's, you kind of become addicted to it or something. Like if Gilbert Gottfried had a podcast.
Well, awkward can be funny. So my voice is kind of awkward and it can cut through a pleasant voice.
But you have a lower rich voice in some cases. Maybe not lower. I mean, we're all performers, so I think that helps. When you're used to telling a story, then you probably have an advantage.
Do you think your talking voice sounds like your singing voice? Because remember when you were like little, like you listen to the Beatles, and it's like they don't sound British when they sing. Do you think that when you talk and when you sing, it sounds like a similar voice?
I think
voice?
It's similar enough.
Both of yours do, I find.
Yeah.
Our singing voices and our talking voices.
I find it's very similar.
I just listened to an entire audiobook of Ben Folds from Ben Folds 5.
Did he sing it?
No, but his talking voice is very sort of like Southern.
Really?
You don't think he's?
I would no. I've never listened to him talk.
Yeah, he's from North Carolina, so he talks like.
For some reason, I thought he'd be nasally or something.
No,
because his singing's kind of whiny.
Uh huh. No, he's his voice is talk because I've been to a lot of his shows and he talks between songs, so I kind of know what he sounds like. But would you guys ever want to narrate an audiobook?
I'd love to.
Like voice acting, basically.
You know what?
Because a good voice actor, like I remember listening to like The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and this like old British actor did it, and he was so fucking good.
Was he like a famous actor?
Yeah, I forget who he was, but like he's clearly had reps.
Yeah, I would love to. I would love to. I'm available if there's any publishers.
Yeah, if anyone's listening out there that needs, you know.
Okay, so you know how in school kids would get anxiety? Like if you're in English class, there'd be a book you're all reading, some novel. And go around the class, everyone takes a turn reading a chapter. Like grade 10 or 11, I was waiting for the book to get to me. I wanted to read in front of the class because I was good at reading in real time. I wouldn't stumble. And I was like, give me my paragraph. I want to read publicly. Cool. But I only found out sort of later, maybe I knew in the moment, but a lot of people despise that. Like they would dread as the book came toward them.
It's so crazy to me that people would hate that.
You were comfortable reading
publicly. I was doing announcements. I was hosting assemblies. Yeah.
I was doing all that shit. I'm a terrible reader. But for some reason, when it came to me, I would be like, I can do this.
Lock in.
And I just wouldn't retain what I was saying. I wouldn't know where the fuck I was in the book. But I said every word perfectly. I didn't stumble. And I could cut through and speak so everyone could hear me.
There's something about the thing that pressure does, knowing that you have one moment to kill it, that makes your brain lock in. Maybe not for everybody, but for me, I've been doing more like talking to camera vlogger style TikToks where I'm describing like what songs mean, where the lyrics come from.
You've been doing like what I imagine, because I'm only on Instagram, but it's like what I imagine is the piano series. I feel like you put the camera on the piano and you're just talking.
And when TikTok first started, I would have like really labored over like, okay, I need to say it just right. And or the second I thought I fucked up, I'd start again. Now I've sort of committed. I'm like, the most I'm going to do is two takes and that's it. And it doesn't matter. And once you get comfortable with the awkward silences or like trying to find your word, it actually becomes sort of part of the presentation. And then you kind of get comfortable in that and you're like, oh, I can do this. But there's some, and knowing that the camera's rolling and you only give yourself two takes to do it, it's a cool, like test for yourself every day.
How are you guys with your porch vids? Are you guys like one take wonders, you and your wife, Alex, with this family tree?
I have zero ability to memorize. So Alex is 30 times better than me. She's also a better actress than me. So yeah, I struggle with it. I annoy the shit out of her. She gets angry with me. Yeah.
Well, I didn't know. I didn't think it was going to go there. I thought it was a nice, pleasant story.
It's like
story.
We're in therapy.
No, I'm just so bad, though. And she's so good that it's like, I don't know, Michael Jordan playing with someone who's terrible at basketball.
Yeah. But we have a trip to report on.
We do have a trip to report on.
We got to talk about it.
We have to.
We teased it last episode.
We thought we were going to record one possibly on this trip. That did not happen. But for our listeners, you heard us talk about this on the last episode. We are all back from the trip of a lifetime, really. An amazing time in the Motor City, Detroit, where we went to see Tim Robinson and the I Think You Should Leave live tour, I guess it was called. Yeah. And they were at the Fox Theater in Detroit. That was absolutely beautiful. This was the brainchild of the Ash, Max, Ash. All I know is this came from Ash. Was like, we're doing a road trip, the podcast, get in the car, we're going to Detroit. And who are we to say no? You guys sorted out. The seats were fucking incredible. Mm-hmm. And as we always say, if you're in the right car, the drive goes by like that.
Because that's a tedious drive otherwise. Toronto to Windsor on the 401 is like 4 hours straight shot. Pretty boring.
Yeah.
But we picked you up in Hamilton. Almost got us in a car crash immediately because we were talking about my driving. And everyone's like, oh, is Max a good driver? I don't really think of Max as a driver. Can he even drive? Yeah. I was like, I got this. We pull out of Hamilton. We're cruising down Brantford Way, pull off the highway to get a little snack. And as we were pulling out of the parking lot, I got honked at hard.
Dude, and then it rattled you.
So
and
rattled.
Then you hopped a curb.
You hopped a median.
I know.
You were like spooked, man. And then I was like, spooked. And this was like 20 minutes into the trip. I was like, we're going to fucking die on the way to Detroit with a guy who claimed he was a great driver.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I recovered though.
You did recover. Yeah. You did. Do you think, were you, like, did you actually recover or were you just putting on a brave face for us?
No, I was chill about it afterward. But I think there's something about those like large box store parking lots that, you know, and I'm just not used to that speed. I'm never in them. You know. So, if you put me on a highway and the weather's okay, then and you're just going straight.
Good braking.
Okay, braking.
That's key.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought. But, also though, we thought we were being pulled over for speeding for a second.
Yes,
you did. You guys are. You're scared of the law.
I am.
You
scared
hate
of the law.
Johnny Law.
Yeah,
Johnny Law.
You're like, oh no, they're coming. Yeah, they're coming. I'm like, I don't think they're coming. You're like, they are. Trust me.
Just Shane, take my drugs.
Yeah,
hide the blow.
just kidding. Have you always been scared of the cops?
No, I just hate the idea of getting tickets. Because every time I board my parents' car, we board my parents' car because we're all people in our late 30s. I get a ticket every time. I don't think there's like my ticket rate, not for speeding. It's usually just like a parking ticket where I've like left a car too long, but it's like 80% hit rate.
Have you ever, do you pay it or do they pay it?
Yeah. David Buss pays it. My accountant. I take a photo and I send it to Dave or
shout
Ash.
Out Dave.
Does.
Yeah. David listens to this podcast. Shout out Dave.
When you're in Windsor, you got to be confident. You're like, we're in Canadian soil. They're not giving me a ticket.
Yeah. He sing talks so they recognize
him. You know what was funny? Speaking of cops, we were walking down Ossington and then there's a cop in his car and he hollers out the window. He's like, hey, Max, how's it going? Big fan. And then I kind of walk over and he's listening to Laundry Pile.
Wow. Like in the cruiser.
Yeah. But I know some people hate cops. So like then like, do you pose for the photo, you know?
Which it's did tough. You?
No, you didn't ask for it, but
you walked over to get
that
phone.
Haircut you have, and you say "Blue Lives Matter." that would confuse the people who hate you.
Yeah. Hey, we got to the we got to the border, and how was my performance with the border guy? Because that's always interesting amongst friends. Oh,
there's two types of people: the people who play it straight up and normal, which I like, mm-hmm. or the people who are like overly friendly and they're uncomfortable, but they're acting like they're so comfortable. The mask. It's like, buddy boy, we got something on your shirt. Boink, hit them in the nose. So like, I hate that shit. But so I would say you put me through a lot of anxiety doing that Max
stuff.
I was
like, where did I land on that? Like,
yeah.
But well, dude wasn't having any of it. That's the other thing.
Yeah. Cause you're being so gregarious with them. You're like, you don't know. I think you should leave. You know,
you don't know Tim Robinson?
Yeah.
Song April in the D.
Well, at first you said, I think you should leave. And then the guy had never heard of that show. And you're like, it's a show on TV, on Netflix, right? And then to put him at ease.
Yeah.
But yeah, what did you think of that?
Yeah, no, those American border guards, they're not having it. No, they don't have time for that. Yeah, I was feeling it, but I was like, oh, we'll see how this goes. Mm-hmm. And then didn't he mess up our names on the passports and stuff too?
Yeah, I think he fucked up.
Is he calling you Sean? I don't know. But
something.
Yeah.
I was pissing my pants.
I'm just always, we've been conditioned to be like, have anxiety in those moments, which is weird. Because come on, man, we're all human beings.
How do you think you guys would be as drug smugglers?
I'd be terrible.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do that kind of like, it's very difficult for me to be in any sort of ruse or lie. Like I don't want to live that way.
Which of our friends do you think would be the best drug smuggler?
I don't know. Who's the most confident and doesn't feel like, it doesn't overthink things?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Who do you think? It feels like you've thought about this.
I don't know. Like no one's that badass in
our
group.
Do you think you'd be a good drug smuggler?
I don't think so.
What about Savelli?
Savelli might be able to do it. Yeah, he doesn't even look threatening either.
Wait, Jay Kelly.
Yeah, Jay Kelly would do it for sure. Yeah, Jay Kelly. I think Jay Kelly would be the move for sure.
The one thing I realized about Detroit is like we've spent a lot of time going to Buffalo, and Buffalo's fine. It's a great city. Love Buffalo.
Closer. Yeah.
But Detroit, like I said, when you're in a good car and the ride goes quick. I was like, I love Detroit. We've been to Detroit once for your birthday, actually. And I don't know if we just went on a rainy time or we got in at night.
It was November.
The
weather sucked.
Weather was shit. We went to a Raps game, whatever. It was a good night. But I didn't really feel the city. Whereas we got in, the sun was shining. Our hotel was right by the Fox, which was also by where do the Tigers play?
Comerica
Park. It's all kind of right there downtown. So there's like an overhead, like there was like a monorail. I was just like,
they've really developed downtown Detroit in the last 10 years. And the goal is to get as many people downtown as possible. So not only is the Fox Theater there where the show was, which is like a beautiful concert hall, 5,000 people, your brother Greg and Jeff Sykes, shout out to Jeff Sykes, saw Weezer there in like 2008, capacity 5,000. Right next door is the Fillmore where Arkells played, which is I think about half of that. There's also Ford Field where the Lions are. And the night of the show was the home opener for the Detroit Tigers. So we get to the hotel, we check our stuff in, and then we are heading over to the venue. and everyone is wasted in Detroit.
They were loving the day.
Because basically it was an afternoon game and people were just sort of falling over each other. And I was like, oh, it's one of those kinds of days. April in the D. What's April in the D?
I have no idea. Everyone kept saying it. I kept pretending I knew what they were talking about. I was like, it certainly is. But I never knew what it meant. Ash kept saying it. I didn't know what she was talking about. Oh, really? What is it?
April in the D is a song Tim and Sam have.
In Detroiters?
In Detroiters. And it's basically the first day where there is a Tigers game, a Red Wings game, and a Pistons game.
I should have known that.
And it was April. So it was April on the D. So everyone was talking about it.
That makes sense.
And then in the live show, they're joking because then the improv guy came out and he's talking about the Lions.
Yeah. He's like, that's the one team that's not playing.
Yeah.
But describe the theater.
The theater was like truly beautiful.
In the show. Yeah.
There's this thing that's been happened since I was a kid. When I was a really little kid, I remember the first time I ever went to Sky Dome, which is what it was called then. I remember my cousins were involved in the church. They had like a Sunday school. And so they got to go to a Jays game on a school bus. My Aunt Dawn was like, she asked my mom, do Mike and Greg want to come? We'd never been to a Jays game. I think it might have been the first time I'd ever been to Toronto. So I'm like 9 or 10 or something. And me and Greg get on this school bus go with the church. You know, we pretend to be believers so we can get the fucking free Jays game. And I remember getting into the Sky Dome, which is a building. Ostensibly, you're outside, it's a building. And I go in and I remember the first time walking into the concourse and you see a field indoors inside a building. It blows your young mind the first time you go in. I remember that at the ACC with my first Raptors game. And anyway, I kind of got that feeling at the Fox Theater because it's tight. It's small when you first go in, right? Like it's like where the lobby doors are. And then the merch was all very cramped. And you're kind of like, there's like a theater in here. Like how is this going to open up? Like low ceilings in the front. Like, all right, I guess. And then you kind of go into this other concourse, which again, very low ceilings. Like I don't know when it was built, like the 1800s. And then when it opens up into that magical moment that I'm talking about, where you can see the inner guts of the theater and what they've really done. I walked in and it's like, it's fucking gold and like all of this like architecture and like this amazing, like round sort of design with the balconies and just the design on the ceiling. I was like, wow, this is a beautiful theater.
If you've ever been to a show on Broadway in New York, it's the same kind of thing. You're like, how could they put a theater? Like New York, Manhattan is so cramped and all the buildings are so narrow, but then you get through the main little lobby area and then you emerge into this big theater. But your point with the Blue Jays is making me think, there's something, because the first time I ever went to the Jays, I was probably like 5 or something like that. And when you're so small, the Sky Dome is so fucking big. Yeah. And that feeling, especially being up at the 500s, because we only had seats in the 500s, and going through like the little walkway when you're going up to the seats and then it opens up, the place looks so huge and it hits you like on a visceral level. Totally. Like you get butterflies and your heart starts to pound and you're just like, you kind of can't believe you're there. And this is the place where your favorite team plays. And I still, because of that memory, I still get that feeling to a lesser degree when I go through the tunnel that to your seats at the Sky Dome.
Wow.
Yeah. I still feel it.
Yeah.
And it's all that sort of like memory of being 5 years old that kind of keeps reminding you.
Yeah. So I got a bit of that with the Fox in Detroit. Cause it felt like I've been in a million theaters. That felt like a very unique theater. What were your thoughts?
It was good. Yeah. I'm not like how you guys are about it. I liked when Joe Carter hit that home run.
Yeah, that was nice.
That was exciting. I watched that from home. But the show was awesome, though.
Okay, let's talk about the show itself.
To me what it was exciting about it. Mm-hmm. I'm more about the event than the venue.
Architecture talk.
20 minutes on the venue.
Is this 1800s architecture? Like, Mike, how do you even know that?
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So they did a thing where they showed sketches that got cut from the show.
Mm-hmm.
And they do this whole like artificial thing where they act like it's a game show and they're going to bring out guests and they're going to rate whether the sketch should have been cut
yeah.
or the sketch shouldn't have been. And all of the sketches, with no word of a lie, correct me if I'm wrong, were fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just because we're watching it live with a bunch of people who already love the show. But I swear some of them were, I think most of them, should have been in the show, like almost all of them, because I laughed my ass off, with the exception of one, which was just like an extended version.
Yeah, some stuff they said were like was too similar. Like it's like, oh, we already have this type of sketch, so we had to cut this one. But a couple of them were better than a lot of the stuff. Like I'm like, how did this end up on the cutting room floor?
You understand, most of it you could tell was from season one.
Yeah.
So they didn't know they had a hit on their hands. So they were being a little bit more discerning and they were trying to keep the runtime to under 17 minutes. But the one sketch about the sandwiches,
the
like
diner.
Naming, I don't want to ruin it, but they name sandwiches a bunch of ridiculous names to keep in line with like a Jack Astor style restaurant.
It's like this old mom and pop restaurant. And so you have the old couple talking about these new sandwiches they have coming out.
Yeah, they're
out.
Trying to make it hip like Jack Astor's though to keep up with the
like
times.
With edgy names. So name, what's one of the names? You can give away one.
Oh, the one about your eyes roll back like you've received the best blowjob, like tuna fish melt or something that.
Yeah, but eyes roll like back that. In your head, chicken. Eyes roll back in your head from a blowjob chicken sandwich.
Yeah, exactly.
That's something you guys would write too.
That was the only time I haven't laughed that hard since I was like a teenager. Like that was where I was having trouble breathing because that sketch also does this great thing, which a lot of them do, is it's escalating throughout.
Yeah,
by the time they get to that line, and it was cut so quick, and the old people were getting really into the sandwiches. And it was just a very but there was a bunch of really great sketches and the vibes were just like awesome. And Tim Robinson probably talked the least on stage.
Well, he's a shy guy and he's not I think he's not made to be a live performer like his forte.
I think he is.
You think so?
Yeah, I disagree. Because I've seen him, he came up through that whole improv world. I find he's uncomfortable when he has to be himself in an interview. But I thought the Zach Kanin guy, I'm probably saying that name incorrectly.
His co-creator.
Yep. He only said like five words.
Yeah, the entire time.
But Tim, I thought, handled himself really comfortably. And everything he said got a laugh. And I don't think it's just because he's Tim. I just think on stage, he has a different thing where he can be comfortable. And he did this this great bit where they bring out like a fake improv performer.
Yeah.
And it's under the guise that it's his first time ever doing improv. And it's this guy in his 50s and he comes out and he kind of reminded me of your dad, oddly. This guy. Am I wrong? Did that guy?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. But it was just,
I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. And you guys are legends.
And
to
he's
like,
pretending he works for NASA, but he also
is a security guard at NASA.
Yeah.
That's the joke.
But it was so good that bit.
I believed it, by the way.
I
thought it was.
I'm a skeptic too. And I'm like, Mike, is this a bit or not? And we're like, I don't know. We couldn't figure it out. But then Mike did some sleuthing and saw him. He did this at the other show. So he tours around with
which
them.
Kind of broke my heart a bit because I was really sold on the bit.
I was equally heartbroken and impressed.
Yeah, that guy's so good though that it's like, if this guy's an amateur, that's the craziest thing ever. Like, yeah, he was awesome.
Just enough like chaotic, crazy guy energy that you're like, maybe he's just a chaotic, crazy guy.
Mm-hmm.
But turns out he was a professional.
And I think that's great about these shows that works really well is like everyone on stage loved him. So the group on stage or on the couches, right? The writers and Tim and Sam and all that, because they're enjoying it so much, the audience is enjoying it just as much because Yeah, it was just the show was awesome.
And it was also amazing. This is the cool thing is that the cult that Tim has developed is so intense and the devotion is so real that so many people were like dressed up as characters from the show.
The funny crowd,
and it was a funny crowd. And usually you think of like comedy nerds as a particular kind. There's a lot of good looking people at the show.
That's wildly insulting to comedy fans.
You know what I mean?
I just thought there was a lot of Detroit bros that I didn't expect. And I don't know if they were just there with their girlfriends, but are like
it was
girlfriends.
Kind of a
I don't
mixed
know.
Crowd too. It wasn't just
like,
dudes.
There was just like a lot of like bro dudes that felt like they came from the Tigers game. And I would think that I think You Should Leave is more of like a hipster thing or something, or like the Twitter type people that really are into it. But I was impressed with how broad it felt with the crowd.
Yeah. And it got me thinking, okay, so he sold out 5,000 tickets in Detroit. He sold out the Beacon Theater in New York City. He's doing the Greek Theater in LA. And these are like real venues. And it's funny, like as a household name, like most people don't know who Tim Robinson is.
He's like a cool indie band.
Yeah. But it's like, and I was even thinking about Sam Richardson. So Sam is his like beloved best friend. And Sam, I bet you if you were to say to most Americans, who do you recognize more, Sam or Tim? Most people would know Sam.
Easily.
Because Sam was on Veep. Sam was in some Marvel stuff.
He's in kids movies.
He does the hotels.com commercials. Yeah. He's all over.
So he's all over everywhere. But Sam on his own couldn't sell out any of those places.
More people recognize Sam's face, more people know Tim Robinson's name.
That's an interesting thing.
Yeah,
that's
for sure. Yeah, 100%. Because people who like Tim are obsessive and they know everything about him.
Yeah.
There's a smaller pool.
Yeah.
But
they all know everything about
everyone him. Everyone knows Sam Richardson's face.
Yeah. 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 So, but it just kind of reminded me that it's like you can be like really famous in a shallow kind of way, or you can be not that famous, but have like, but the devotion is deep.
Yeah.
And, you know, and anyway, I was just so impressed. And also it was just a great, like, inspiring reminder that, like, you know, Tim didn't become Tim Robinson, who we know today, until he was like 40, right? Like, he'd been just doing comedy stuff forever. So it was cool. It was awesome. But yeah, the show was amazing. And then we carried on in the night.
We went to this incredible Thai place.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Takoi. If you're in Detroit, Takoi. Very good.
Might be some of the best Thai food I've ever had in my life. We're just crushing Miller Lights, eating Takoi. Then we went to a piano bar, like a live karaoke piano bar. Like it was kind of a magical
night. Which was like a Tim Robinson sketch.
It was.
So the place is called Sid Gold's, and it's in downtown Detroit. And it's one of these places that's supposed to look old, like it's been there for a long time. Yeah. Sid Gold's is actually like a brand. I've been to one in New York, and I think it's like this new brand of piano bar that's supposed to look like this like old school 1940s thing.
Yeah.
And the one that I went to was like, you know, it had featured like a real piano player, and like the vibe was, it was in Manhattan. It was very just that kind of cool Manhattan crowd. And he was like singing some covers. I don't think it was live karaoke. This one was different though.
You walk in, were you like, this architecture shit? Or like, could you, away, it wasn't impressing you when you walked.
It didn't quite impress me in the same way, because in New York, is beautiful. It's like this narrow Manhattan room with 1920s architecture. And this one was sort of just like the back of a room.
Okay.
With a curtain pulled across the back wall.
It's like they just put the addition on 5 years ago. Just a little box on the back of the building.
Yeah, just a little box. Yeah. But anyway, we go in there and people are singing karaoke. So there's basically a guy at the piano.
Like a fishbowl or something?
There's a dude who basically has his like iPad out at his computer, and he's like trying to play along to all these covers. And it was all
baby grand piano.
And it was like, you know, all the hits. But how would you describe the song selection?
I was all over the place. Like someone did Creep by Radiohead. Yeah. Somebody did like a jazz song. And you had all sort of manner of singers. But the thing is, the bar was like, Friday night? It's Friday night. So people are just there to drink and talk too. So someone's trying to do a ballad and people are kind of talking over. And you got a choice to make if you're this karaoke singer while the piano's playing. You either just sing through it and sort of suffer the indignity of nobody listening to you sing, or you're such a good singer that you cut through and people actually shut up.
And people sing along.
And people, or you pick a great song and everyone wants to do the chorus with you. But we saw the whole, because we sat there for a while. So we saw sort of every different type of performer get up and either succeed or fail or be ignored. until we came to, let's say, like a middle-aged woman, a little bit older.
Well, yeah. I think she was 55. If you lived to 110, she's middle-aged, but I think she was elite, she was 55-ish.
55, but kind of looked a little bit classier, maybe. Like, she was kind of, am I wrong about that?
How
like,
drunk were you, Mike? She looked like an ashtray. I know, like.
No, but she looked like serious-ish mom who was out for a night on the town.
Do you know Tan Mom from the Howard Stern Show?
No.
She reminded me of Tan Mom a little bit without the tan.
Okay.
Right. Well, she looked like she'd gotten dressed up to go out on a Friday night. And she, you know, at this point in midnight, she's probably had a few drinks, but she goes up on stage.
Her husband starts filming with a camera.
Yes. And do you remember the song she was singing? I can't remember the song she was singing.
I forget.
But I don't know what it was. Like, I feel like karaoke, you're supposed to chat. It's an unwritten rule. You do not have to pay attention, right?
It's not a concert. Yeah. It's not a concert.
So
not a show.
She starts singing, "You're so vain," but then no one's paying attention. So she's like, "Hey, you're so vain. Shut up."
No, you're not talking about her. We're talking about this woman on stage.
Yeah, this is how the woman was. Yeah, yeah. And then she's like, "You probably think, hey, shut the fuck up." And had everyone scared out of their minds, like, what's going to happen?
Oh my God.
And then she starts singing again. And then kind of dropped the mic and walked off stage.
Stormed
and
out.
Just left.
Grabbed her purse. And made song.
You'd think the piano guy would be like in support of the crowd. Like, hey, enjoy yourselves. Keep talking. But he stands up. He's like, hey, guys, we got to respect everyone who's singing. I was like, what are you talking about? And the piano guy clearly wanted to get with her. You know what I mean? Like,
extrapolated that.
You don't think so?
A woman's episodic meltdown.
He did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just remember we were sitting the four of us were sitting at the back and she starts going to her, shut the fuck up. And people are kind of talking and then people are very scared. And then when she stormed out, she had to walk right by us out of the door.
Oh my
God. We just kind of watch her storm out. Like, is she doing a bit? Is she serious? And she was dead serious. And the minute she like got past us, the four of us just exploded laughing.
It was so good.
How bizarre this moment was. And it was like,
but it kept going.
Detroit, baby. Oh, yeah.
Basically, it kept going. And then another guy was going to come up and do it. And like the song began.
Yeah.
But he was unhappy that the room was still chatting. Yes. And he just refused to sing at all. I said, that's it. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
It was like weird. The Larry David stand-up thing where he goes on stage and he looks at the crowd and goes, nah.
Nah.
And then he just walks out.
I wanted you to go up so bad.
Oh, man. Oh,
just to see if you could command the audience.
No, I mean, Mike could have done it. But you were asking to get fucking Don't Look Back in Anger. And
I wanted motherfucker to get off the panel. I wanted to do it. I didn't need him. That was my request, was can I sit down and do one?
Yeah.
But again,
I'll
was
take
like
control over this rowdy room.
Oh, I would have gotten, I don't know, who knows, Detroit, tough crowd, but.
But then eventually the guy kind of packed up his bag and was about to leave. He do you remember this? The piano guy was like, listen, you guys are all talking way too much. The night is over. And then he starts to like kind of put his laptop away. And then someone convinced him to come back. He's like, okay, one more, but we have to be really quiet. It's crazy. Yeah, and then just shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. There's another person did that too. It's like people just yelling at the audience the entire night. It's crazy.
It was a memorable time.
I love yelling this at our work too. I know, we're recording this in like an edit bay.
They're like, what is going on in that edit bay right now?
But yeah, we had a great drive home the next day. Yeah, so I know we're on a bit of a time crunch because Mark Myers.
I'm over time.
Yeah, here. But what can we wrap this up? This can be a quick, short episode. It'll be like 33 minutes, but that's 33 minutes of your week provided by us.
Well, I was going to say about the drive there and back.
Yes.
It's a lot of pressure. That you guys, it's like, you know, topics, you gotta move quickly. You get bored very easily if there's silence. I've never been in a situation where there can never be any silence.
Oh, really?
You hate silence.
I didn't think it was, no, you know what? I don't mind silence. I just feel like it was so rare that we get a chance
to be together,
the four pressure. Of us, and to scheme and plan, because so much of the time we're together, it's like we're in a project, we're recording a podcast, we're doing something. So we have like so many fucking ideas that just need to get out. There's no time to be silent.
No, I was telling Alex, because she was asking how it was. I was like, oh, like With Mike, it's like you're listening to a podcast sometimes, and it's good and enjoyable. Just but with Max, it's like you're on a podcast. So it's like, all right, next topic. Shane, what do you think about this? And it's like, you've got to have something. And then if you do like a good little joke, you get a little treat, like a little tickle. It's like, ah, I love having you around, buddy. You get one of those, and you're like, okay, I'm doing well. And you feel like you're going to be kicked out of the car if you go
deliver.
Yeah. And you just know when you get out, there's going to be a little chat about how you did on the trip, like that was great, or Shane was a little off today, you think he's hungover? You just know there's something like that. So I was a little self-conscious at times, which I don't know if I performed for you, especially on the way back. I felt like once Mike left, I'm like, oh, I'm a little hungover, I got a hint,
because you guys had to continue back to Toronto.
I had an hour in there. I'm like, oh. I was trying. I was doing a lot of tap dance, trying my best, but I was hungover a little bit. So, you know,
We did some of our best work in the end.
I thought it was good. You know, I was pulling every reserve dopamine that I could. And then when I got out, I was just like, Alex is like, what's wrong? I'm like, I just got to lay down for a bit. And then I just needed an hour in bed to recharge. But yeah, it was a great trip. And I'm not saying like hanging out with you. It was just like... It was just like a lot of pressure, but it was awesome.
Do you feel like it's pressure hanging out with me?
No,
but he's extroverted. Yeah. It's different. Introverts get energy in different ways.
We feed each other's energy. So we can really, you know, it's like, whereas
I have limited topics too. You're like, state of the world, Mikey, politics, this and that. And then I'm kind of like, chill.
Talk about 18th century architecture.
Yeah. You guys connect this fucking on that. Guy.
No, but we came up with like 6 new ideas.
I agree.
That's it.
We were workshopping. Yeah. There was a lot of topics to talk about, but I have another topic before I leave here. That's leave you guys, but I had an audition recently. Oh, no. my first potential acting gig as a
outside of something you haven't created.
Exactly. I was on vacation and I had to do a Zoom audition, which Mike knows I'm notoriously bad at. These
auditions are tough.
I've bombed. We had to do some auditions here at work that have been hilarious stories, but I think I did well.
Wow. Can you say anything about the project?
I don't know.
Did you have to memorize any lines?
It was, it was an improv thing. That's what scared me. I had to do improv.
But you're so quick on your feet.
I had to pre-plan shit to pretend I was quick. But luckily they fell into all the traps I predicted they would go into. So I had really quick lines.
It's like
I was making them laugh.
It's like a freestyler who, you know, pre-wrote some raps, but they're not aware that he had set up his bits to fall into
place. That's exactly what it was. And I'm good at predicting where people are going to go. It was for a banking company. And so I'd have to promote a credit card.
That's cool.
Yeah.
When do you hear about the gig?
I would be shooting in early May.
Hey.
They'd be crazy not to hire you. It's like man on the street style, which is something that Shane excels at. And
So I made it. I got to a callback, which is good. So I auditioned and then got the callback, which was... just, you know, a shorter list.
Yes, I'm listening, even though all the phones went up.
No. Max is listening to Masters of his latest single.
I had a thought related to this. That's all.
Let's hear it.
Well, you know, you're talking about like being prepared.
Yeah.
And by the way, you're going to get the gig.
I don't think I will.
Really?
But I think, we've done so many castings. There's so many variables.
That's true.
And it goes into your look, your demo. Like, maybe I'm too old. Maybe I'm too young.
How old do you think you look?
Like you said earlier, we're all in our late 30s, right? So I think that range would be flattering.
That's cool.
Yeah.
The thing about being prepared, by the way, I'm not actually going to do this, but I've always admired your comedic abilities. And I've always... thought about the, and it kind of scares me, this thought, the idea of doing 5 minutes of stand-up comedy.
Oh yeah.
You're going to do it.
No, I'm not going to do it, but I think I'd like to do it.
I think he looked at his notes because he's working on a set.
Well, this is it.
What just happened?
So what I've started to do is that just like themes that I think, and I was like, what did I even write down? Cause like last week I had like, I've never done this ever in my
life.
Give
us a little, please.
So
just go.
I have two things and I don't even really know. It just says stand-up comedy ideas. Okay. The Vatican. And
kind of deliberate though, like you're on stage.
Vatican. I know. I don't have. No, there's no jokes. These are just themes.
These are themes.
Like, so you don't actually have a. So,
Nothing. Okay, so just nothing. Wow. So, but I need you guys to write the
you
stuff
for write something with the Vatican.
Yeah. So the Vatican or the Pope, the Pope's take on things. I don't know why I brought. Why I must have read something in the paper that I thought the Pope
got
had. Because the Pope, I think. I'll stop. I won't go any further in my Pope routine.
I thought we were going to get one.
No, routine is just the subject.
I'm no routine. I'm just saying. Okay. And then my friends watching WWE. I think there's something there.
Okay.
Yeah.
About grown men who find WWE to be like their comfort blankie.
Yeah.
Like really smart guys.
Yeah.
So like Kyle Dubas loves WWE, as does Savelli. Two of the smartest people I know.
Yeah.
So there's something there. That's as far as I've gotten.
It's like grown men worshiping something fake.
Yeah, yeah.
Ties you back to the Pope and religion. This is your comment.
No, they're not even tied together.
I'm trying to help you.
Oh, thank you. Sorry.
Because I think the obvious angle is to be making fun of how ridiculous it is.
Yeah.
So you could be like, a lot of people think, you know, watching WWE is silly. Like some of the smartest people I know watch it, they think it's ridiculous. But it's actually really smart if you think about it.
Oh,
okay. So you got The Rock, right? And then you just find this weird corollary and you zag when people think you're going the obvious route.
And you eventually get a new wrestling character called The Pope.
Yes.
And it's the guy that wrestles as the Pope. So you end up tying it back together.
Yeah. Fuck. You guys
are
so smart.
Or you're talking about how, like, is the Pope Christian? What is he?
He's Catholic.
He's Catholic, right? You just start talking about how the Pope is like wrestling.
Yes.
And you find out all the superheroes.
That's what I was getting at about worshiping.
Yeah.
False.
So the superheroes are like the different saints.
Exactly.
Yeah. This saint had this superpower. This one had that.
You'd rather hang out with wrestling fans than Pope fans because they party at least.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something there.
Yeah.
But I think I could deliver it well, but I just don't have the material.
Both are like lunging at young men.
And that's where we wrap it up.
All right, that's it. That's all. That's our episode.
That would be the end of my special.
Of course.
About lunging at young men.
Yeah. Catch Max at Yuck Yucks in a couple months. We got to work out the material first. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Nathan Ash for putting it all together. Thank you to Manager Ash for setting up Detroit and making that all happen. It was a brilliant time. Guys, great hang. Maybe the best.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.